call the meeting to order. Is there any public comment? No. Okay. Review of agenda. Somewhere in this, under maybe review of assignments or select board correspondence, meeting wrap up, we have to discuss the notice for the zoning regulation hearing on January 8th, and who's going to put those ads in, and the particulars of that, and when we want to, the time that we wish to schedule that meeting. That's our regular meeting. It's going to be postponed because the first meeting on Wednesday in January is New Year's Day. And so I'd like to put that in somewhere, and I don't really care where. Maybe at the end. And we also, I would look to put in with budget worksheets and planning. Neil has offered to keep the spreadsheets for us, and I would like to discuss that, and we can, because that should be a board decision, not my decision. So maybe we could put that in budget worksheets and planning. Does anyone have anything else they wish to add?
Yes. I wrote the first Wednesday of January is the holiday.
That is why we made the meeting the 8th.
Right.
And we won't have a meeting on the 1st of January because it's New Year's Day.
That's right. I wrote that.
Right.
Last.
And, but we've got to determine a time for that hearing,
okay,
as to whether we want to start the meeting early to accommodate a hearing and then have the regular meeting after, or how we want to handle that. So, any other items you wish to add or for the agenda? Don't all speak at once. I move we add the following two items, the zoning regulations and Neil working on the spreadsheet in the various locations discussed. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Oh, that's right. We're not. Okay.
Any opposed? Okay, we're all set there. Approval of the minutes. I only have one correction, and that is that Art had asked to be on the agenda for executive session on the first meeting in December, and that was incorrect in the minutes. Anybody look at any of the other things in there? Any other corrections? I need a motion.
So moved.
I need a second.
Second.
All those in favor of approving the minutes with corrections? Aye. Say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Warrants for approval. We have 19050, a tax refund for overpayment of taxes of 101.03. Payroll warrant 19047, $7,340.71. $19049, accounts payable, $960,587.83, $960,587.83. That's to the state of Vermont for the education fund. And 19046, accounts payable, $62,159.22, and that is to Charles Smith for finishing Cloudland Bridge. Does anybody want to look at these before we sign off on them?
Is there another one in there for a tax refund?
I only saw the one.
19048.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. They were stuck together. 19048 for 698.04. Motion for all of those, if no one has any questions, or even if they do.
So moved.
Need a second?
Second.
Do you want to discuss or look at any of those? All those in favor of those payroll items and accounts payable, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Then we're good to go. Just as an aside, Alan did get the payment from the donation from Kathleen.
Okay.
Okay, next on the agenda, road foreman report, and Jimmy asked if he could go home because his mother-in-law is not well at all, and I thought we could manage. I did go to Sharon last night to speak with the selectmen. They feel that they haven't got any petition back yet on their bond, and that's going to be clear on the 29th. They would like to close the road except for local traffic, get rid of the through traffic to save us both some money. And I touched base with Jonathan Harrington, and he's expecting to have those bid, those RFPs for us to look at the first part of December. And then we could figure out if we want to do any changes or not. And he suggested that we put that out on the street right after the first of the year and not try and put them out during the holidays. And so he's working on that. And they had some questions regarding whether John was going to analyze the bids with us when they came in, and that was not in their contract, and it was not, I looked at ours this morning, and it was not in ours. He is going to oversee the construction, at least minimally, but we may want to reread that contract more carefully and determine if we want to add things. We can do that if when the time comes we want to add things. And from a time frame standpoint, Jimmy wants to put in that new culvert below, replace the culvert below Brooks's, young Mr. Brooks, and put in one. You remember where you and I saw the hump there, and we looked at that swamp, and try and get something in there to alleviate that problem, and perhaps replace some of those older culprits as well. But if we started the project like the 15th of June after school got out, so there wouldn't be any bus traffic, he'd have time to do those things.
Do you know how many he's going to change?
He hasn't looked at the hill yet, but that one below Brooks has got tree growing in it, or on it. And, of course, there's the one there by the swamp that's bad. He says there's also one bad that comes out of, goes under the Elderbrook's driveway and goes all the way down and across the road and over into Nancy Pike's. And he said that one was bad as well. And that's a long thing. I don't know what we're going to do there, but...
Parallels the right-of-way?
I think it is part of the way. Maybe all of the way.
Well, I mean, parallels the road.
And he said that one was bad. We talked about that last time. And but whether those on the hill are bad or not, I don't know.
They're old.
They're old. They're all old. Anyway, so that's all I have to report there. They were buying a new one-ton truck, or a ton and a half. And I asked them what their replacement schedule was that they were trying to get along with. And they said 5 years on the small truck, 7 on the big ones, but they weren't sure they were going to make it 7 years. They've already put 3 Meritor axles in one truck. And they said the Freightliners are giving them trouble all the time. And of course ours are too. And so... That was an interesting, very short conversation at the end.
Do we have our new colored inventory from Two Rivers yet?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have that?
I do not have a copy, but Jimmy does.
Okay.
And actually, there were very few really bad ones on that. And the other thing, too, is that I don't know... maybe you know, Frank, on a structure, you didn't do that Cloudland Structures grant, right?
Not the grant. That was before me.
Are we going to need an engineering assessment to put in a structures grant for that? Do we want to contract with Horizons... or that other one was Willis, to either one of them to get them to give us a estimate on what that's going to cost. And so, do you want me to reach out to the two of them and see what they'll do for us? Or I think we should not just give it to Horizons necessarily, unless you think we should.
No, we also have, like this, because we put money in this year's budget, we ought to get one of the two or even somebody else to do the highway design for the Labounty Road, too. So we put money in, we put $7,500 in for that this fiscal year. So that's yet another project.
Sharon did say, I said that we were a little frustrated that we weren't getting any services from V-Trans, and they're not either. So we're not alone in the quagmire. We've got Jimmy thinks that Cloudland one is severe, and I assume that's going to cost as much or more than the lower one, because it's going to be longer, more fill on it.
Yep.
So do you want me to contact Willis and Horizon and say, you know, what can you do for us here as to what kind of a proposal to get us a preliminary cost estimate? Is that what you would... That's all we would need for... Or will we need a preliminary design?
Well, they'll have to do a design to give us an estimate. That's what they did. That's what...
I'll call them both and tell them we have another culvert on Flatland Road.
But it's... but it's going to be considered structures. Not a culvert, right?
Well, that was a structures grant as well. That lower one was a structures grant.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
But that we would need a proposal for this, for a similar amount of work as to what they did with the Cloudland, the lower Cloudland culvert, and see what they come up with for a proposal. Think that'll work?
Yeah, I mean, the one we did with with Horizons, we... We specified that they'd work on the bid and they would do, you know, they'd work along. This at least to get an estimate for our structures grant, we'll just need a preliminary design. We probably won't have to contract for, unless we want to, give them the whole thing.
If the culvert doesn't collapse and we don't get a structures grant for a year or two, we'll let it sit, won't we?
We're going to have to keep an eye on it for sure.
Well, that other one lasted for 3 or 4 years after they thought it was going to collapse. I will touch base with them and see what they can do with this. Yeah. Get a proposal from them for a preliminary design.
Yeah, preliminary design so we can, because we need to know how much to ask the state for, and I think they like to kind of see, well, they require an estimate.
Okay.
And if we have some drawings, then we can put that in the grant package too.
I will reach out to both of those. Okay, I don't know anything else about what Jimmy was going to tell you other than he's having to do a lot of repairs.
What kind of repairs? Mechanical or computer?
Well, the brakes went on one truck. Steve, you were... The spinners, a couple of the spinners on the sanders were frozen up. Hydraulic hoses, he's broken some hydraulic hoses. And when he didn't get far from the garage, so maybe that was fatigue from last year. What else was it that he talked about? I can't recall.
I think that was the most of it. Spinners, brakes, hoses, yeah.
Which truck did the brakes go on? Oldest one?
Truck two. Right? Two.
Which is the oldest one?
Yeah.
Because the one that's got...
Froze up or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the one that, I forget what the number is, but the one that they went through the brakes on, the one that has the front end that blew up last, that truck. One,
that was just the newest.
Yeah. And they actually noted some things I meant to talk to Jimmy about that weren't getting done, that they noticed on that truck. So just make sure they're getting done. There was a couple of grease fittings that were missing. They were fairly critical. So anyway, that truck has been checked out, I guess.
Sure he would appreciate that. But he is getting discouraged fixing old trucks. However, so let's go on to, unless anybody has anything else, let's go on to truck bids. And your assessment thereof.
So we met Monday night and went over the newest bids for the six-wheeler. And I don't know if anybody wants to look at them or not, but the best price in there was from Clark's, and the other two were from ATG.
I think you better, for the record, you better read the prices and the trading values of all three vendors, or two vendors, three trucks.
Okay.
You put together a spreadsheet with all the stuff. Did you vote on yet the tandem truck yet?
No, because we more or less decided that we were going to do two trucks and do them as a package and hope to get better price and so forth. So, what I did is I printed off the emails that came from each one of them that shows the trade prices. So anybody that wants to look at them can look at them. So, the Freightliner truck from ATG, the truck itself was $99,182. One thing we got to do is, anybody got a calculator?
Yes.
Take $68,200.
Wait a minute. I have to find it. Sorry. Okay.
$68,200 minus $15,000.
$53,200.
So, and so that was the truck. The body would be $53,200, the equipment.
That's plus on top of the $99,000?
Yes.
And is that with the trade or straight?
That's just the price.
And that's a Freightliner?
That's the Freightliner from ATG.
So what did that total add up to be, Cindy?
$152,382.
And that's the body with the sander and the whole nine yards?
Yep.
Plow?
Wing.
No plow.
No plow.
We had discussed at that point in time of keeping our current plows.
Okay.
And then from ATG, they have a Western Star. And that one was 109,818.
And the body?
53,200.
53
or
63? 53.
That's the body price. So 163,018. Yes.
Why is that less?
Yes.
Because what they did. Well, what they did was in the equipment. It's in here somewhere. They basically sent the same proposals except for the part of if you were going to get a triaxle. Not getting a triaxle would subtract $3,000, and then the rest of it was the scraper blade. $96,185, and then the equipment would be the
$53,200. $149,385, and that's
with the sander
wing and no plow. Yep. And this is the 10-wheeler, right?
Six.
This is the 6-wheeler.
6-wheeler. All three of these are the 6-wheeler.
Okay. And what about the 10-wheeler? Oh, and well, wait a minute. Before you, what about the? These are straight prices, and now what are they going to give us on a trade?
So ATG in his letter said that he would give $50,000 for each truck, but however he weren't sure when they were going to receive the trade-ins. So basically what he said was after that, because the not receiving them like right now, before the plowing season, he would go with $45,000 if he got the trucks during mid-season, which reality, that's not going to happen because it's going to take 6 months for us to get the trucks. So he was $40,000 for each of them.
So regardless, he would do a $40,000 trade?
Correct.
And that's a firm price?
Yep.
And what is the trade-in on the International?
And then International was going to give us $57,777 for the 2013 Freightliner.
$57,777.
Yep.
For the
2013. And $62,777 for the 2014.
And those prices will stick and be good at delivery of the other truck?
Yep.
And this six-wheeler is a four-wheel drive?
No.
And I thought the discussion that you had with Jimmy, or when we were here with Jimmy before...
He said two-wheel drive.
He said he was uncomfortable getting two-wheel drives. Or did
two, he... No, two 10-wheelers. He was uncomfortable getting two 10-wheelers.
But he's okay with getting a two-wheel drive?
Yes. Because his comment to me was, is this is pretty much, that's what they always used to run, other than one four-wheel drive. And they didn't have any issues. So.
Okay.
And I went over these specs with him, and he was...
So...
It wasn't their discussion. They wouldn't even sell you the four-wheel drive unless it was the 23,000-pound front end.
Correct.
And it wouldn't fit in the garage.
And then they brought that truck up. ATG brought up one of their...
The big one.
Theirs with the four-wheel drive, and it won't even fit in the garage once you put the body on it.
So basically, the bottom line is Clark's is way under either of the other two bids. Because the truck is cheaper and then the trade-in is better.
Yeah, I mean, one truck, they're $22,000 more than ATG. The other one is almost $18,000.
Okay, so this is the six-wheeler. Now, what are the prices on the 10-wheeler?
Just before we move to that, what about warranties?
But, that doesn't include the extended warranties for any of them.
Right.
Does not, does or does not?
Does not.
Right.
But what they did is in their packages, which I can pass those around so everybody can look at them, they give you multiple options as to what you want. I mean, you can do 5-year, 7-year, and then you can do...
What's the price range?
See, like in here for like Clark's, they do give you an option for towing. You can do an extended towing so that if you have to tow it, it covers up to like most of these are 550 per incident. So if you go, for example, the 84 months of towing is 1650. And there's some description there that you can look at.
What to warranty the truck, the drive chain, and
that would be this one. Said like 7350.
73,000 or
7,350 dollars.
For what, 5 years?
That one is 84 months.
So, is that in addition, or is that a total of another? You know, sometimes it comes with a, you know, a year or two warranty, and then is that...
The way I'm reading this in here, which I can pass it around so you can see if you interpret it the same, that would be the extended warranty.
For a total of 84 months, not in addition to...
Right.
Yeah.
And it gives you some mileage breakdown and stuff, and then like over, and then they give you a next, also an additional option for engine stuff. 84 months there, 6450. So I guess if you started adding those two together, it'd be like 13,800 if you wanted full.
Is that with Clark's or ATG?
This is with Clark's.
Is ATG, are they comparable?
Let Frank take a look at it, and then his questions might be answered.
Yeah. Actually, there'll be one right in that one, too. Start on the front, actually, Frank.
Yeah. $7,000 for extending another 5 years, and then $9,000 for 7 years.
On the warranty and give them some of the scenarios we've had, like the brake issues, because my guess is when it comes to that brake issue, even if that happens on a vehicle that you've got bumper to bumper coverage on, they're going to make us eat it because it's going to be a wear.
Yeah,
wear.
I think brakes and things just aren't going to be covered.
Yeah, no.
I mean, that's just.
Even though it's not worn, it was locked up, but that's still not going to be something that's covered, so.
Jimmy's not here, but from what I saw of it when I was briefly there and talked to him about it, it was a lack of maintenance kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Fronts or rears?
Rears. Slack adjusters and stuff were froze, and the S-cams were froze. And
that was the kind of stuff they noted with the truck. Last summer.
Yep, same thing.
Just on the front, that's all. But
well, I see you got parts, maintenance parts, the conditions they're in.
They need to maintain them.
Yep. Motor, and yeah, you can buy a 7-year warranty, but that doesn't preclude your truck from having to be in the garage all the time either. Right. Not.
That was the thing they said, ATG, there's some things that need to be greased every week in the winter, and you know, maybe once a month in the summer. So those are the kinds of things. Yeah, the warranties are certainly want to think about them, but I'm not sure. I guess they're all about the same dollar wise. Nobody's got cheap insurance warranties.
So it would be a fair estimate to say that you would, if you were to get an extended warranty, you would add at least $10,000 onto these prices.
Yeah.
Regardless of what animal you decide to buy, whether it's the 6-wheeler or the 10-wheeler.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to what you've got for 10-wheeler prices, or do you want to make a decision on the 6-wheeler?
Well, my question is...
Or do you want Cindy to take these figures and make up a spreadsheet?
We really should have a spreadsheet, to be fair, to look at. I mean, because you were confused. Oh, we're talking about the 10-wheeler. No, we're the 6-wheeler.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's what we were originally talking about.
I know, but what I'm saying... It is confusing. And that's one of the things we discussed last time, is just have a spreadsheet. It, you know, just at a glance, it looks like Fox is a good price. But
well, you can do the spreadsheet, and that spreadsheet, you can put the different options for the warranty and add that into the price, so you get a total of figure when you're different options.
Yeah, because it is confusing buying too. And then I guess the other question I had, did they really, I mean, we put out a bid for the 10-wheeler, then now we put out a bid for the 6-wheeler. If we buy them both, say, from the same vendor, is there going to be more discounts? They certainly didn't know that the 6-wheeler was coming along, they bid on the 10-wheeler. So, and the question is the 10, is a 6-wheeler, I mean, we could buy a 6-wheeler from one vendor and a 10-wheeler from the other, and we didn't realize any discount because, you know, so I'm just questioning whether or not they'd give us a discount with that in mind. If we buy the 10-wheeler from Clark's, will they sell us the 6-wheeler for that? Or, see what I mean?
They're separate bids, so they have to.
Yes. Right. So the premise that we're getting a discount, because we're buying two.
So let's go with the 10-wheeler prices,
yep.
And then we'll get Cindy to do the spreadsheet with the various information for the
trade-ins,
warranties and such. And then I think that Steve should go back and say, you know, what's the bottom line here? If we buy two trucks from you, in other words, it's going to be a simple matter. If Clark's is cheaper, and we're only considering price, I don't know what Jimmy's or your feelings is regarding Internationals versus Freightliners versus Western Stars, but I'm going to have to leave that up to Jimmy and you guys because I don't own any of them. So I know that over in Sharon, when I discussed this briefly with them last night, they certainly were happier with the Western Star than they were the Freightliner. But we've had trouble with our Western Star, so...
The front end.
Right, so... But that's the same
thing. But everybody's in that same boat.
Everybody's having problems with that front end.
All the same anyways.
Right.
So, let's do the 10-wheeler prices too. And then if you want to go back and say, look, you know, if for instance, you all are happy with an International and Clark's is cheaper on the 10-wheeler as it is on the 6-wheeler, then you can go back to saying, okay, well, so if we buy both of these trucks, what can you do for us extra here?
Yeah, because that was the intent of what we're doing.
So, what are you going to give us for a package deal?
Yeah, because the problem is having two trucks that are exactly the same age. It would be nice if we got in a bugaboo because they had one they had so much trouble with and they got them a year apart. And now they're not 2 years apart. So if we buy two now, I'm just being devil's advocate. We're going to have two trucks. We're going to have two old trucks sort of together.
Well, unfortunately, as I see it, is we're behind.
Yes.
We should have been working on this 10-wheeler or the 6-wheeler a year ago so that it would already be in our possession.
Yep.
Possession. Absolutely. So if we wait, we're still going to be further behind. Mm-hmm. And when we start paying $60,000 in repairs... It gets to be time to move them.
I understand. So
I understand what you're saying, and I couldn't agree with you more. But these things, as I look at it, we're in the service industry, especially in the winter. When you got to plow snow, you got to plow snow. When you got to sand, you got to sand. If you drive the truck out of the garage down there, and it doesn't run, and you only got two vehicles to work with, you're had. Especially if it takes 2 weeks to get them fixed. And that's the position we've been in last year. It's the position we're going to be in this year, probably. And we've got to get on the game plan to get that remedy. And at the very best, we won't get these till summer. If we make a decision in 2 weeks, these won't come in until summer.
Right. The other question I had was, I haven't dug in, what does our reserve account for vehicles look like and stuff? Because one of the problems is we went from putting $108,000 in the reserves, we went dropped from there to $72,000 on the premise that we were going to buy lighter, cheaper trucks. And, you know, now we've discovered that isn't going to work out, and so we're behind at least in that respect on the capital plan.
As of January 16th, 2019, which would not have included the 74, 72,000, whatever was in last year's budget. She would not put that in. We were in 111,000 and 27,000. So we had two CDs. So that's 140 almost, and there would have been a $70,000. So that's $210,000 in the reserve account. There's also another $72,000 or $4,000, and I can't recall the figure, that's in this current budget that hasn't been put in as well. So that would get us the two trucks. I did some, that paper was as of January. I did some calculations because I'm concerned about this as well. We haven't been putting enough money in there. And if you take conservative estimates of what these trucks are costing us each year, we should be putting $108,000, $109,000 in that reserve account, because there's not going to be anything for the payloader, which is coming up in, I don't think I have that paper with me today, but the payloader is coming up in 2 or 3 years. There's not going to be any money for that, and that's going to be a $160,000 job. And the grader is coming up in 2025 on the schedule, and so that's a $365,000 job or more. So we've got to, it's bad news.
Right. I guess that's what I was just practicing that because we have,
it's bad news, but we made an error in judgment. And now, mind you, that $108,000, $109,000 was based on getting these back to a 5-year schedule. And the main reason I you can fool with these figures, and we can fool with them. I took that because I personally feel that we've just spent an awful lot in maintenance, in repairs. And although some of it may be due to poor maintenance, some of it is just electrical stuff and computer stuff. It's just stuff that isn't lasting. And maybe it's just the Freightliners. To hear that Sharon said that theirs weren't holding up either, at least that was a little heartening. We were all in the same boat, but I'm not convinced that these computerized vehicles with all this electronics are going to last 7 years.
Right, and so I guess it gets me to the next point is, should we consider getting a contract with one of these outfits so that they have their on-the-road technicians come and do the computer stuff? Because what costs us a fortune, costs us
$800 every time we take it.
$800,000 to drag it to Westminster or up to Underhill. And, you know, should we consider contacting these guys and getting them on board somehow so that we can have them come? Because apparently, I know that ATG is, and Steve reports that Clark's has got a guy that's on the road, too. And that was a big...
Jim seemed to think with his box that they would be able to at least diagnose it from anywhere.
That's on the new trucks. I'm talking about the ones we got now. They don't have the box that transmits.
No, but hopefully we can get rid of two.
Well, I know, but what I guess I'm getting at is this winter we still got to keep these trucks going, and if they break down,
well, that is definitely, and of course, in that particular instance, all you're going to deal with is ATG because they're the only ones that are servicing, right?
Well, they're servicing them right now, and they're the ones that are supposed to have a technician with a truck and parts, and they come to your place, and so Yeah, you reported that last time. So one of these outfits, we just need to, I don't know if we'd set up a service contract or just some kind of agreement or whatever, and get them on board, because this business of dragging them, you know, you got to find a towing outfit and stuff, and that takes a...
Well, it's expensive. No question about it.
And if these guys are reactive, you know, and we may have to pay a little extra, but the guy can, you know, if the truck breaks down today, he comes up this afternoon or whatever, if he's...
I have to admit that when the payloader died, and Jimmy walked in my house at like 1 o'clock, and that guy, they had him there in an hour. They took him off of someplace in Ludlow, and they sent him up to fix the payload. Now, mind you,
that was Nortrack?
Yes. They had just brought it back, or it had just come back. But they were there in an hour. They had that thing home by 4 o'clock, back in the garage by 4 o'clock. Yeah. And I was quite impressed.
Yeah. So,
But that being said, that's not the truck. That's the payload.
Right. So what I'm saying is to be proactive. We ought to think about contacting one of these outfits and set up some kind of a service contract so Jimmy can call them and say, hey, we got a truck broke down, and can you come send your technician? I mean, that was one of the things that was nice about ATGs. We didn't buy any of our trucks from them, but their policy was, when you brought us your truck that you got somewhere else, your problem became our problem. And that was their philosophy. And they were, I can't say enough good about their service, people and how they treated us. But again,
I made a note, and I will have Jimmy give him a call.
Yeah, I mean, either we make some kind of an agreement with them, pre-made, or just a verbal agreement that they'll be our, hiring for a year. We're going to need them for the season.
Well, we got to get through this winter with these trucks.
Right. So I'm just saying that that'll cut down on the trauma of having to have the darn things towed. We might be able to get them back in service. I don't know what their policy is, whether they'll come and work all night on one or not. But
I guess it's worth a call to ask, isn't
right.
it?
Right. Because, that's what our future is going to be. Even when we buy these new trucks, we're going to have a vendor who can recognize, if they'll radio in or whatever they do through Navistar or whatever, the problem. We still got to have a technician who's going to grab the part and come to us. We don't want to be able to be towing trucks, down to Westminster just to put a $10 sensor in someplace. So that's just food for thought. I've been thinking about this truck stuff.
Well, no, I think it's a valid point.
Doesn't hurt with the truck.
Which Craig has told you, he told us down at the garage, but Dan has said the same thing that and Dan said with his new trucks, they actually send, it's in this quote, it's like a $160 item or whatever, and they just put it in the truck, and you can actually download from that, and it'll tell you what the problem is, so they
come
on the road and get it fixed.
Yeah.
Or it'll tell you whether they can fix it on the road. If they can't, then you...
Yeah, because more than likely they might not have the part on the truck or
right.
In the store.
Yes, but it would be, especially if they could fix it down here rather than up there, it would be nice if they knew what parts to bring.
Right. Well, and that's what this little device does.
So that's in the future, but for now, we've got these trucks that don't talk to the cloud or whatever.
Well, we've got to make it through this winter with them, and it's going to be expensive, and maybe we've got them all fixed up, but I don't have a problem with doing the spreadsheet. I think that at the next meeting, we've got to make a decision on these trucks and get something ordered. But I do think that...
So what I can do is we can finish on the other part of giving you the numbers now for the 10-wheelers.
And then I think that, if for instance, Clark or even ATG, what are you going to do for us if we buy a 6-wheeler and a 10-wheeler from you?
Right.
And go to both of them and say, if we buy 2 trucks, order 2 trucks today, how much more can you take off? And that's only, and give them both the opportunity, how much more are you willing to eat to get our business for 2 trucks at the next meeting?
In writing.
Absolutely.
We need it in writing.
But so let's go for the 10-wheeler prices.
So, Clark's on the 10-wheeler, and this is total. This is with the body and truck included. It was $196,303.
For what kind of truck?
International.
And is that still... are you having to get a new plow with that one?
Yes.
Okay.
And then ATG was $193,665, and that was on with a Freightliner. And then ATG with their Western Star was 204037.
Okay, and
there's some other prices here. I'll just make note of it. There's some other prices with a different body manufacturer on these trucks, but they're all higher. These are the lower prices with the same equipment that we just got quoted on the six-wheeler.
And they're all Vikings?
Yes.
Okay, so that's good. That's one less thing we got to sort out.
And would those trade-ins on the 2014 and the 2013 Freightliner, would they be comparable with the same vendors down here?
Didn't he say 40 on both of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, but Clark's was higher on both of them.
Right.
So would they still give us the same trade on a...
Yes.
You follow what I'm asking?
I will clarify that, but yes.
So 57,777?
Well, depending, yeah.
That's Clark's on the internationals.
Right.
ATG's price was that $40,000.
Got it.
On both.
So
which is right here, if you want to read that.
Even with the higher price, the international is higher priced than the Freightliner, still with a trade it's going to be significantly less.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, I think we should have Cindy do a spreadsheet, and I think you should call them and say, you know, if we sign on to two trucks, what are you going to do for us?
Make sure she has the warranty information so she can include the different warranties.
Is that all in these folders?
Yes.
And you're letting me have that paper to take home. Thank
you. Okay. Do you want to discuss this anymore, or do we want to move on?
Move on.
Okay.
I would think we would. Let me get back to the agenda. Okay. Listers, errors, and omissions certification. Becky sent us that. I believe that was in the packet. I have the paperwork here somewhere. And the problem was that this is Robert and Marlene Rand, and the tax map is 2.75 acres, and the transfer form was 4 acres. Is that correct, Neil?
In 1987, when the Rands bought the property, it was listed as 4 acres on the transfer return by the attorney. And in the deed, it says a homestead of 4 acres from Mount Laura. And then two paragraphs below, it says actual acreage 2.75. So the attorney picked the wrong acreage. So the Rands have been paying taxes on 4 acres since 1987 instead of 2.75 acres, which they only caught this year when Marlene went to sell and the attorney caught it. Found it in the deed, and we checked it against the tax map to be sure.
So what does this document do for us?
So at the bottom of it, it says, when real or personal estate is omitted from the grand list by mistake or an obvious error is found, the listers, with the approval of the select board before December 30, may supply such omissions or correct such errors and make a certificate thereon of fact, provided, however, the listers make the correction resulting from the filing or rescission of a homestead declaration without approval of the select board. So basically, we have to approve that the listers have done this.
It's a difference in taxes for the year $200.
Just for 1 year or for 30?
Just for one.
Unfortunately.
So we have to approve this, if that's what we choose to do, and then we have to sign this paperwork.
So I move that we approve the errors and omission
Certificate
for the RAND property effective.
For this year?
For this year.
I second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. There's only room for 3 signatures here, but you'll just have to put yours above or below.
That took me last time.
And today is the 20th?
4.
I can't stay 4.
Then we'll give that back to Becky. This power pole easement, I talked to Jimmy about that. And basically, the power pole is already there. They're just running the lines to this individual who bought the land. But they're going across the road with the lines. And so we have to approve that if we so desire.
Yeah, when I took a look at that. And
you did?
Yeah.
Jimmy did as well.
The pole that the landowner is outside the right-of-way, so we don't have to worry about the pole. And the they're both on the bank. One, they can hitting the line with the trucks is not even a consideration. They're one line will probably be up 70 feet in the air.
Jimmy said it was fine, and so I was willing to take his word at it. So I need a motion to approve this easement.
So moved.
I need a second.
Second.
All those in favor of approving the easement for Palmer for power lines across the road right of way?
Aye.
Any opposed? All set. Becky, do you know how to do this paperwork?
Yep.
Good.
Sign the end and I'll notarize it.
Is there space for just one person on that?
I guess it's got to be duly yes. authorized agent. So I guess that must be me.
Well, we can let's
or we can have some other duly authorized agent.
Let's just, to make it clean, we should have put it in our motion. I move that we authorize Emily to be our duly authorized representative to sign the deed.
Second.
Do you want to vote on that again?
Just an addition.
Okay.
So it's just, we just got to vote.
So I sign here at this duly authorized
meeting. Once you let us vote on it.
Well, we did the other first, didn't we? Didn't we vote on the other?
The other, but I'm adding an extra motion to authorize you to sign.
And I will second that extra motion.
John did.
Oh, sorry, John. I didn't hear you.
Okay.
All those in favor of adding that wordage signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Good.
Or it can be a separate motion. You need this.
Is this where I sign it?
Yes.
Yes.
And date it 20th.
And the confusion on that is Palmers don't own that land. It actually belongs to Jeff White. That's
actually,
why I was confused.
Actually, it doesn't.
Really?
It belongs to the town.
What do you want
to
do?
Which part?
So when they rerouted Kenny Hill Road, the Fishers deeded a portion of the land to the town, and the Palmers deeded a portion of land to the town. After the road was completed, the town deeded the land back to Fisher, but didn't deed anything back to Palmer. So the town still owns that land.
How much of it?
It's less than an acre.
A sliver?
Yeah.
Doesn't show up on the parcel map.
It doesn't show up on the parcel map because when the parcel map was initially done, it got missed. Hazel knows about it, though.
I'll bet she does.
Did you want me to be the witness?
Yes, please.
Interesting.
So that's something they're working with their attorneys on fixing. And getting us to deed it back.
Here's
to them.
The other half of it. While we've got Becky here doing, I forgot to add, Silo Distillery asked for a permit to cater today, and I didn't put that on the added agenda. Does anyone object if we take care of this catering permit while Becky's here as well? This is for the Grange Theater, Wednesday, 12, 18, 19, for the Vermont Symphony Orchestra concert, 7 to 9 p.m. I need a motion. I will move that we approve this catering permit for Silo Distillery at the Grange Theater on
12/18/19. Second.
Well, guys, if you won't say anything, somebody's got to.
We can second. We just don't like the motion, I guess.
All those in favor of that motion, and second, please signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Thank you very much. Here you go, Becky.
That was for two nights, right?
Yes.
Just one. Cloudland Road posting on
Wednesday, the 18th of 2019. Okay. The 18th and the 19th. Okay.
The Cloudland Road posting, I know that Jimmy has tried to contact Chris Bumps regarding whether that needs to go through them or not on that bridge. And because Jimmy isn't here, I don't know the answer, but I know that was in the works. Hasn't fallen through yet, so I guess we're okay for a day or two.
I'm pretty sure you just have to.
No, you just have to post it?
State, but the state has a website that has all that listed. You can do that.
Okay, so budget workshop and planning. Neil has offered to keep the spreadsheet and print copies, if need be, for people here in the public. The projector still doesn't work, correct, Becky?
It might still work with your computer.
Maybe.
Yours is the last holdout, the last known working.
Yeah, but it kept shutting itself off.
So it doesn't work with yours either.
Well, that night anyway, but we don't know whether it was the internet error or...
I tried to get my computer set up so that I could print on either one of those printers on Wednesday with Becky, and that isn't going to happen. I assume you must still be able to print, right? So I'd like some input as to whether we'd like to take Neil up on that offer. Do we need to make a motion, or do we just want to take him up on that? Is there any more discussion?
Take him up on it, I would say.
Is that okay with everybody?
Works for me.
I think you have another job.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Now, we have the budget worksheet sheets for both the highway and the central office, and Becky is prepared to give us what she wants to do, or what she and Ellen want to do for the central office. And I don't know, you should be able to pull those up on your computer, or we can print off some more copies and we can go through them that way, whatever you prefer. I already have a copy here, and Becky can make some more copies, or I can make some more copies of that if you want.
Yeah, I need a copy.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me give you that and the highway as well.
You need more copies? You need copies?
Yeah, give them to them. I've got one. How many have you got?
I just got one for the original. I could make some right now.
Yeah. Yes, make some.
You like three of them.
Three more.
Okay.
I don't know how you submit it to the state, but the state has a listing of all of the road postings in Vermont that you can look up. Just says all Vermont municipalities are required to file a report with the Vermont DMV and circulate the highways and bridges. Which legally, when we post the roads in the spring for them to legally.
I never realized you had to do that.
Well, if you don't, you can get sued and you have nothing to back it up.
Well, let's not do that.
Well, there was a clerk up in Chester that got sued because after a couple got divorced, the wife claimed she never signed the mortgage.
Hmm.
And they did it in front of this notary, and she didn't have a log, so she lost and was on the hook for the rest of the mortgage.
Huh.
For some penalty for the mortgage.
Hmm.
So, we keep trying.
Bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
Always looking for a way out.
It's good to be tired. Bureaucracy. The reason I am.
You think that's going to kind of get you off of being on the hook?
Yeah. Bureaucracy, what are you doing here?
She had the advantage, everybody, because she worked in the site department.
The bureaucracy was all.
And you were involved with Frank for a while, too, right? It's not possible.
Frank who?
Huh?
I don't know anything.
My nephew, Frank?
No.
Zoning hearing, we've got to warn that 30 days in advance.